my game. You all the same, and your brain should be feeling the flame. And it makes you say, oh, I got the microphone, but I'm showing up and on. But it's here for nothing. The letter that comes before P. Dough is the cheddar that words cannot see. Flow so much better than phony MCs. And my style ain't free, so please be off me. Just another dude like you who loves rap. No need to be rude, allude, and get slapped. As I walk through crews, hear oohs and get daps. You losers get back, confused and get back. I choose on this track to root for this fact. You dudes are too whack, you dudes are so whack. To the sea, we did and we know. That's why when we flow, we make you all go.
Well, I got the microphone, but I'm flowing up and on. When it's here for nothing, no. But we rock the way that we rock. When we drop the thing that we drop. When we stop the way that we stop.
All right, I think we're ready to go here on The Hockey Show, 101.5 UMFM, Canada's only campus-produced radio show as we fade out the Union Turnpike. Thanks for joining in, everybody. Big show tonight as we have a number of phenomenal guests and certainly some people to get to. Let's start with the guy in studio, Jason Pajak. How are you, Jason?
I'm doing fantastic, as always.
Right on. I am Teebs, as everybody does know. And we're going to start bringing in a few people that have some voices that we're going to add to the show today as we get everything ready and get everything going and get everything... Did I do something wrong here? Do I not know how to use this thing? I think I just hung up on one of our guests. I don't know. I'm lost here for now in terms of getting everything going. Where's Skippy? You know how to do this. Where is he? Bring in Skippy. He's out there. He'll know what's going on. There we go. Okay. Put him on. Skippy, I got two guys on the phone here. What's going on? There's keeps hanging up on me. You want to take a look at that there? One of the guys keeps getting hung up on, so... You have any idea about that?
No.
Oh, well, he doesn't have any idea either, folks. So there we go. Anyway, we're gonna bring things in quickly here as we get things going on the phone. I know that Skippy's gonna do some work out there and get things going, and we'll bring those guys in a second. So make sure we have that going. So we get everything up and running here. I'm going to bring in the first guy just because he's already on the phone, and I know that we can hopefully get something going with him. We'll get talking to him in a second here. Oh, here comes. Okay, we're going to try once more as we try and dial in for. Actually, I'll let you, Skip. Do you want to try calling that number there? It's up to you. Whichever you want to use. All right, so we got Skippy going with that. Things just falling apart on us here. Yep. In terms of how it's moving here. So we got that set up and going. So with the show today, folks, as you're tuning in, hearing us mess around here, show today all about nationals. The hockey nationals start next week, next Thursday, as we get things going in both Halifax and Charlottetown in terms of making sure that we got everything up and running and everything working and everything set up. So I think you got everybody set up there, Skip? You got things going? So we got things going here. Skippy's figuring stuff out here. Looking at everything that's happening, looking at everything that's going on for Charlottetown and for Halifax. So far, I can assuredly tell you, 7 teams for the women are already going to Charlottetown. We are waiting on the 8th. Possibly going to be decided tonight as the game between St. Mary's and St. FX is officially underway. On AUSTV.ca, if you want to go and watch that, folks, as we get things going. There's a lot of stuff happening there. We'll keep you updated on that game. Secondly, over on the men's side, we're still waiting on another team to be joined there from the OUA as we make sure that we got teams, the 8 teams from there going. The teams that are going to be decided there playing on Saturday, Concordia and Guelph are going to be the the two that are set up and ready to go for the, not Guelph, sorry, Western. It's Concordia and Western playing in the bronze medal game in the OUA, and we've discussed that, Jason, a little bit about what's going on here. So we got Skippy getting everything going here for our phone side of it. I want to bring in, I guess, you first, Jason. We're going to start in Canada West with the women's side. We're gonna make sure that we get sort of the women's side first. International Women's Day today, too, might I add.
Yeah.
So we'll throw that out there as well. Start with the women because of International Women's Day. And then we'll talk to the two guests that we're going to bring on right away and talk to them about everything else that's going on. So, Jay, let's start in the West, Canada West, the two representatives going, Alberta and Mount Royal, in terms of having everything set up there. We are looking at probably, depending on what happens in this game tonight, possibly the number one seed overall in Alberta, and then a lower seed, obviously, for Mount Royal. We don't know exactly where yet, but in your mind, what's the one thing or the one idea for both teams that would get them into a gold medal final, into a chance to win the Nationals?
I mean, if you're Alberta, just keep doing what you're doing. Like, this is a talented squad. This is an experienced squad in Alberta. They've got some of the best talent in not just Canada West women's hockey, but, you know, U Sports women's hockey. This is a great team. This is a team that knows how to win. They've won before. This is going to be, they're going back to Nationals after kind of a hiccup last year, where they just kind of ran into a bit of a speed bump there. It was a little bit of a speed wobble. Weren't able to get it through. But yeah, if you're Alberta, just keep going. And if you're Mount Royal, just enjoy this. Like, this doesn't happen. They've been building towards this. They've been working for this. And once Keegan gets in here, he'll probably have a better idea of the way that the team's working right now. But, you know, this is, you know, whatever you're coming in as, just enjoy it. Be like UPEI last year, who came in, their first shot at it, their first chance. It was a bunch of rookies on that UPEI team. Just come in and enjoy what you're doing. Enjoy being at Nationals and having this opportunity. Because this is it's a bit of a misnomer, but this is a good Mount Royal squad. This is a Mount Royal squad that can win hockey games. Like, they really, not that they shocked anybody by any stretch in the playoffs. They just came in and, you know, did what they had to, and they won. Like, they came in kind of as the underdog, as the world beaters, and they just shocked a lot of people.
I mean, are there any surprises that stand out to you for either of those teams, though? I mean, they both have players that have sort of stepped up this year and been really good, but any surprises that you could see that maybe we'll see at Nationals as well?
I mean, like, with Mount Royal, really, you're coming in to be the spoiler, right? You're coming in, not a lot of teams, you know, people would really expect Alberta to be there so they can game plan for Alberta. They can watch all their tape, you know, these teams. You've got a lot of teams there that have played Alberta before at Nationals. You got returning talent, but Mount Royal, just by virtue of being kind of an unknown quantity, have the opportunity to win hockey games and come in and surprise people. They are the question mark, and they are the team that, you know, it's one and done. This tournament is one and done.
Yep.
They just need to win one game and get the ball rolling, and they can take over.
So let's bring in a guy who knows a lot about both these teams, who's seen a lot of these teams. He calls both men's and women's hockey games for the Mount Royal Cougars. He's had an up-close look at one of Canada West representatives, obviously, with the Mount Royal Cougars going to Nationals this year. When he's not in the booth at Flames Community Arena, he can be found at one of the hosts of SSKP Hockey, a great podcast that actually focuses on Mount Royal Cougar hockey, both past and present. We're proud to bring to you the voice of Cougars hockey, Mr. Keegan Bartram. Keegan, how are you?
Good. How are you guys?
Good. Having a little problem with the phone here, but we're working on getting that fixed up right away. Just talking about the Canada West reps, going to the Women's National. Let's bring you in on your thoughts on both teams, the Alberta Pandas and the Mount Royal Cougars.
Yeah, well, first off, let's just say this was a good series. From the moment the puck dropped out here at the Claire Drake Arena in Edmonton, I thought both teams put on a good show, obviously. Not the result Mount Royal was looking for, but they couldn't hang their heads in any way. They lost to a good team in Alberta in that series. But if I had to break things down a little bit about both teams, I mean, when you look at Alberta, they just won their 14th Canada West title. That's back-to-back seasons now. the first 11 games, like the beginning of the season, you would never have thought Alberta would be in this position, but the first 11 games of the season, they went 4-6-1-0. That was sixth in the Canada West Conference. 28 goals for, 18 against. I mean, as you guys probably know, the three-point swings can cause a lot of havoc around the Canada West Conference every weekend, but they dominated UBC 14-1. Like, probably not expected when UBC was supposed to be a pretty decent team this year. Probably caught everyone off guard that they were 4-6-1 at that point. In the last 17 games played, they went 14-2. 53 goals for, 13 against. They like really found their game, shut out their opponents 9 times in that span, and 10 of those games they played without arguably the best player in the country, in Alex Poznikov. So to me, the fact that Alberta did win the league, it's not surprising. I think that they are the best team on paper and on the ice. They showed it, and Howie Draper's got himself another chance here to bring home a national title.
So, I mean, looking at it, are there any surprises that you see coming out of these two teams? Like, are there any players that you're like, you know what, they're due, like, they're good to step up?
Yeah, one that's going to step up for Alberta, and I think she's done it throughout her entire career, is Autumn McDougal. She's a native of Dartmouth, Nova Scotia, so this is a big homecoming weekend for her, especially not being able to play in the national tournament last season. She got an injury, sustained that one in the Canada West semis. From what I'm hearing, they're flying out a day earlier so that she can have dinner with her family. So she's probably going to bring everything she's got, especially with this being her last go-around in a Panda sweater. She led the entire Canada West Conference in points with 31, goals 17, was second in U Sports in both of those categories. So, and she did it all, like I said, without pretty much the yin to her yang and Alex Poznikov. They've played together their entire careers and had to play the last 10 without her and still did this kind of domination on the point side of things. So I'm expecting McDougal to be big. I am expecting Poznikov, the former U Sports Player of the Year, to be big as well. She finished fourth in the league in scoring, and she missed those last 10 games. So no argument there. She can really put the puck in the net. Didn't seem really up to form in that final series against MRU, but if she finds it, she'll be lethal. She's got tremendous speed and can create the puck from anywhere. And then I think if you look at the rest of that, I mean, amazing, fantastic four they have up front, Kennedy Ganser and Madison Willen. They both played with McDougal down the stretch. I watched them this weekend. That line is just, it's insane to watch. They're constantly in the offensive zone with puck possession. And both those players are very chippy and edgy type players that really not afraid to get into the dirty areas and try and get around the net. Really fantastic around the net are those three.
So what about your team? Who should we be watching for? And what
the team
kind of
we actually care about.
Yeah, the team we're going to cheer for in terms of you know, the fairy tale ending here. Who should we be watching for from the Mount Royal Cougars? And who may come out with it and surprise everybody in terms of their performance?
Well, first of all, that's what I like to hear. the Mount Royal Cougars fan base is just getting bigger and bigger. But yeah, wow, what a year for them. History made since jumping to U Sports back in 2012, never won a playoff series, let alone make the national tournament. They finished the highest ever in regular season history and had the best finish to a Canada West season in school history, getting the silver medals this past weekend. That 12-14 2-0 record, don't let it fool you. This team, they had to win a lot of games down the stretch to solidify home ice in the first round. And I thought they really found an identity this season as a team. They're going to play really stingy. You're going to notice that in the games that they play out in Charlottetown. Goal scoring is a premium in Canada West and just in U Sports in general. And they don't have exactly the most offensive threats compared to the rest of the league. So they play as a team, and they just try not to get scored on. And then out of nowhere, they're just going to attack you and get on the board. They gave up, including the two home playoff games this season, 14 goals in 16 games. As much as that really works for them, though, they do struggle when trailing. All season long, the focus was getting that first goal for them because they play a million times better when with the lead than when trailing in hockey games. And that's really where they flourish, is being tied heading into the third. I know it sounds crazy to believe, but such a good third-period team, and they completely emptied the tank at that stage in the game. So it's tough on the opposition, I find. The hardest thing for them is getting there with those close games. You notice that in this series against Alberta. When Alberta took the lead, they kind of took over with it a little bit, you know, and Mount Royal struggled to get back into it. But down the last 10 minutes of each hockey game, it was all Mount Royal, especially in game two. They outshot Alberta 7-2 in the period, but ultimately a power play goal in the third and two power play goals in the game, I think five on the weekend, were pretty much what broke the back of Mount Royal. In terms of players to watch, Anna Persky tied for 10th in Canada West scoring this season, 18 points this year. Her 11 goals were tied for fifth. She had an unbelievable season. She's so fast, guys. If there was a skills competition out at the national tournament, I would put some money down on Anna winning it. She's been pretty much the backbone offensively, and just her work ethic. She's definitely the definition of what it is to be a Cougar. On the back end, I would say Emma Bergesen, Norwegian defenseman. Took her a little bit of time to adapt her game, but really came into her own as this season went on. She ended up finishing second in rookie scoring with 10 points, only behind that of Maddie Willen from Alberta, who just really seemed to tear things up down the stretch. And then in net, Mount Royal rotated three goaltenders this season, which is a crazy way to go about things, I think, in terms of trying to get a goalie to find their game. But it worked for them. Honestly, all three goaltenders, you can rely on them any night. And one in particular, rookie goaltender Caitlin Ross, really came out of nowhere. She got the nod in net, played solid down the last half of the season, posted an 8-3 record this year with a 1-1-4 goals against, 9.43 save percentage, the four shutouts. I should also say the goals against was third in the entire country, and she's a rookie. She got really hot at the end of the year, and that's pretty much what solidified her the starter's job for the playoffs. And in those playoffs, she got three shutouts in seven games. So I'm not sure exactly what head coach Scott Rivett's going to do when he gets out there. He does have a veteran netminder in Zoe DeBoville, but my guess is he's probably going to stick with what's working, and he's going to ride Caitlin Ross.
Does the road record for the Cougars concern you at all at 4-10-0?
It can be concerning, but then again, you're going out here and seven other teams are on the road too. So I think if they can just stick to their game, the game that they've been playing here down the stretch, they had to play three straight road games. I know it's technically not a road game when they had to play Calgary here, but it wasn't in their facilities. They weren't in a comfortable setting, and they still got the job done. And then they went up to Alberta and did all they could up there and played a heck of a two-game series. So, yeah, the road record during the season was a little bit scary when you're looking at potentially not getting home playoffs, but the girls found a way to win on the road when it mattered.
Well, all right. That's a good rundown from the two teams there. I don't think Jason and I are going to disagree with any of that, considering we saw them most of the season as well. So excellent, excellent setup there for it, Keegan. We're going to throw you on hold, though, because we want you to come back and talk about the men's side. So you got about 15, 20 minutes. You want to grab a drink and kick back and relax a little bit. Is that okay?
Yeah, that sounds good to me.
Okay. Hold on tight, then. We'll get you back in there in a second. We'll get everything else going here as we bring in our next guy in a couple of seconds here, folks, as we throw Keegan on hold here. I don't disagree with any of that with Keegan said, though. So we're going to take a quick break and get the second guy set up as we figure. I think we figured out the phone here now.
Yes.
I think I got it down now in terms of what's happening. Skippy with some good advice as well there. So hang tight, everybody. Quick little run here as we get a couple of things set up for Victor to come in. You'll know him in a couple of seconds as we introduce him in a couple of seconds to bring him in, because we got a ton to talk about in the OUA and the RSEC, especially when you consider that there are four teams going from there. So hang tight, everybody. We'll be back in a couple of seconds as we get everything else underway here on the show on 101.5 UMFM.
Was a great penalty kill from State Effects.
We got, sorry, hold on. That's AUS TV. I forgot to mute them. There we go. It's going to give everybody an update there as well. SMU is up 1-0 on State Effects right now. So there we go. There's the update. There you go. Now we can go to break, everybody. Here we go.
All around us. Even now in this very room, you can see it when you look out your window or when you turn on your television. You can feel it when you go to work, when you go to church, when you pay your taxes. Do you know what I'm talking about?
101.5 CJUMFM.
Is it really so hard to believe?
Hi, Jim Carrigan. Dennis, I know that some in our audience don't know the finer points of hockey. What is slashing?
Slashing is like that.
Mm-hmm. And there's a penalty for that?
Yeah, and for a trip also, you know, like that, and for hook, like this, and for spear, you know, like that. Mm-hmm. All bad.
Bad.
You do that, you go to the box, you know, 2 minutes by yourself, and you feel shame, you know, and then you get free.
You're listening to The Hockey Show on 101.5 UMFM. And we are back here on the Hockey Show here on 101.5 UMFM. I'm going to bring in the next guy who knows a ton about everything he needs to know about Ontario hockey, because he is pretty much the guy out there that we know, that we follow, both Jason and I follow on social media. So we brought him in because he's got the entire province of Ontario and Southern Quebec pretty much under his finger. He knows everything about that. He's a Ryerson Sports media grad. He chips pucks in deep for CBC Sports, takes a regular shift as a writer for Around the OHL, can be heard as the voice of the OHL's Mississauga Steelheads on Saga 960 AM. Believe he did a game earlier today as well. So he's been a productive guy already. Again, as the guy that we seek out on social media when we need some OUA hockey information. The Hockey Show proud and honored to welcome Mr. Victor Finley to the show. Victor, can you hear us?
Yeah, I can. Wow, what an intro there, guys.
There you go.
But you forgot one thing.
Uh-oh.
And that is that I will pick up pucks after warm-up as well.
Oh, right on. There we go. Good guy all around then in terms of getting stuff going. Exactly. Good guy in the room. That's awesome.
I try and do what I can to help out, right?
So we got two teams going from the OUA to the women's tournament in Charlottetown. We're starting with the women here. The Toronto Varsity Blues, the York Lions. I'll let you decide which one you want to talk about first, Victor. But give us the lowdown on these two teams.
Well, I think for starters, the Macaw Cup on Friday night is going to be a classic. I think with, you know, the Toronto University hockey scene with both men's and women's, I mean, you've got two teams, both men's and women's at York, you know, Toronto and Ryerson. So there's a really healthy rivalry going there right now. It's great to see the intercity competition at such a high level, because Ryerson this year, too, were, you know, top five in the OUA. And you know, the University of Toronto were the best team in the regular season, but, you know, just after them, it was really tight with Nipissing, York, Brock, Ryerson, and then, you know, Waterloo and Queens were not far behind at all either. So, you know, U of T, I guess, came in as the favorite, being the one seed, but, you know, I had a chance to see them up close last week when they played the Ryerson Rams, and what has to be, for my money, one of the best university hockey series I've ever seen. I mean, you know, game two, after Ryerson won game one, the Rams have a chance to close out the Blues, and can't do it. It goes to double OT, and then Taylor Trussler, you know, puts in a beautiful backhand off a turnover to seal the hat trick and the win for U of T, forces a game three Sunday night, and that one goes to overtime as well. And again, the Varsity Blues get the job done and fend off Ryerson in what was a phenomenal series. So U of T is an all-around team. You know, their goaltending and defense has really been their bread and butter this year. That's really, I think, what stood out to me. They've got a couple really good defenders in Christine Chow and Gabriel Desers, and then Natasha Anathanasankos. It's a bit of a mouthful of a name, but, you know, she is a dynamic player as well. And, you know, like I mentioned, Taylor Trussler up front with a hat trick in the playoffs. Anytime you can go off for a performance like that, you know, that certainly brings some star power to the table. So I think U of T are really well-rounded. Their defense and goaltending is their calling card. You know, on the York side, this is a team that's been kind of average, sort of middling over the years. And then this year they've had a breakout season, and it's been because of a lot of players sort of stepping up to the plate all at the right time. And, you know, they've been okay defensively too, but, you know, for sure I think their biggest asset is what they bring to the table offensively with, you know, a player like Kelsey McCollum, 13 goals this year. That's top 10 in the entire country in women's hockey. You know, Kara Washer's just had a fantastic year for them as well. And you know, Courtney Gardner put up a real good playoff run so far for the York Lions as well, with 7 points in her four games. So the Lions are a really dynamic offensive team. You know, they'll give anybody, you know, trouble. But I think on Friday in the Macaw Cup final, we're really going to see a matchup of two teams that, you know, one defensively sound, you know, very defensively responsible team with U of T against a really dynamic offensive squad at York.
So, I mean, looking at that, and I mean, we're used to the best of three for the final. So I find it, I mean, if you have one bad game, you're kind of, you know, up the creek in terms of winning the Macaw Cup. But it kind of reflects on how teams have to play at Nationals as well. You only get one chance. So do you find that it sort of sets teams up for success that way?
Yes and no. You know, both teams go to Nationals, so they'll kind of have a second chance. You know, like you mentioned, if you have a bad game in the Macaw Cup or the Queen's Cup, I mean, you're not going to win it, plain and simple. You have to have a good game in order to win. But, you know, even if you don't, you have a shot to come back at the national championship and redeem yourself. But I just think that the road in the OUA playoffs is so hard. I think especially a little more so on the men's side. You know, with the three rounds still on the women's side, you've only got really the first two rounds, and then you're in the Macaw Cup, where on the men's side, you've got three rounds. There's no bye week. So I think for a lot of teams, you know, they can come into the national tournament, you know, pretty beaten and battered already. And, And I think maybe that's a little bit the case with the women's game too, but certainly with having single game elimination, it's given them a little more time with the Macaw Cup to rest up a bit. I mean, you know, look at U of T, right? They go to three games in a weekend with Ryerson, two of which, you know, go well past regulation. You know, that's going to take some wind out of your sails. So for them, they've had a full week, though, thereabouts to recover. They'll be ready to go on Friday. It's, you know, a one-and-done thing, and then they're going to be right back on the road to Charlottetown. So they're only playing one game here in about 7 days, but, you know, it's still been a busy stretch despite that. And, you know, if you go for a best-of-three playoff series in the OUA for the final game as well, I mean, that's, you know, a really tough trip because you could be you could end up playing as many as 9 games, right, if things end up crumbling down that way. But, you know, for most teams, it'll only be 6 or 7 as a result.
So, I mean, I'm going to put you on the spot then. Who wins the Macaw Cup this week?
Boy, yeah, I mean, I hate making predictions, especially with the OUA, because I either look like an idiot because it doesn't happen anywhere close to what I think it will, or I look like a genius because I pick something obscene and it happens like that. But I guarantee you, if I accurately predict something in the OUA, it's an accident. So I don't know what to say. I honestly have a hard time batting against University of Toronto. Maybe it's just because I've seen them more so in person than I have the York Lions. But mm-hmm. I find in playoff games, in single game elimination, it's tough to bet against good goaltending and good defense. Now, the thing is, if it doesn't show up, then, you know, you're up a creek without a paddle. So as long as U of T play the way they have, for the most part, I would take them to win.
I don't know if you want to dive into it, but the RSEC has been decided, McGill over Montreal. Yeah. Your thought, have you seen either team, or do you know much about either team in terms of...
Well, I followed loosely kind of the storylines in RSEC because Concordia came in as the, you know, nationally ranked number one seed.
Right,
you know, they get bounced in the conference semifinals. I mean, you want to talk about upsets, and boy, do we ever see some on the men's side this year, but, you know, holy smokes, like this is one of the biggest on the women's side too. So, you know, the McGill-Martlets get back into the national championship. Of course, they're no strangers there. They were just in the national final last year. And just barely lost in a nail biter to the Guelph Griffins. I don't think they're quite as good. They're still a real strong team, but Concordia had the experience. You know, they had some of the best players. You know, certainly a top five player in the country with Rosalie Bégin-Cyr this year, and I just couldn't find a way to get it done. And you know, the Montreal Carabins, a real Cinderella story, making it all the way to the finals. So, you know, did McGill maybe have a bit of an easier route to get to the national championship? I think you might be able to argue that with good case, but you know, this is a team that even though they might not be as good as they have been in, you know, the last 2 or 3 years, it's single game elimination at the national championship. I think they're going to be well rested, and you know, that's very much a team that plays and scores by committee. So they need all their guns going at the same time, and if they do, and they manage to hang around and keep these games close, I mean, all it takes is one good bounce to be on the right side of things.
McGill, third best defensive team going into Nationals as well as it stands right now. So, I mean, it's always good to see some good defense as well. McGill's known for their goaltending and certainly for some of their players that have come out of that program. But, yeah, I mean, it's going to be tough sledding if they don't score by committee, as you said. They're one of the lowest scoring teams going into Nationals. So we'll see how they do in terms of getting everything going. Jay, do you want to take a shot at the AUS while we're here?
Yeah, sure. Like, we're watching the final for the women's side right now, you can't really argue that about St. Mary's, you know, coming in where they're at as a team. You know, this is a team we got to see a little bit a couple years ago. It's a strong team in St. Mary's. They've got one of the best goaltenders in the AUS. They've got potentially in the country right now. They've also pretty solid up front. We've got the notes here, but you know, they can roll four lines. Their team rolls four lines deep and very strong defensively, a little bit stronger defensively than St. FX. So the one main thing with St. FX is they take a lot of penalties, like, and they have, you know, some of their players, as we talked about before the show, some of their better players have this problem where they just disappear at the wrong moment. So if you're St. FX, you still got the chance, you know, coming in second in the AUS, they were ranked fifth in the country. It's weird. You know, we're finally seeing like a 1-2 situation in one of these conferences starting up.
I agree. That is weird.
It's kind of weird. So take nothing away from Saint Effects. They're a good team. They had a very strong year. It's just that when you're playing, especially we've had discussions before with like when you're playing teams from out west who are bigger, more physical, that are faster, that play a different style of game, a very physical style of game, a very frustrating style of game. When you're at the national championship and you're playing potentially two of those, and if Concordia had made it out of the RSEC, you would have been playing three teams that play like that. It's going to be very difficult for them to keep cool heads. But if they do keep cool heads, then it's a very strong team, and it's a team that can win a lot of games.
Saint Effects on the power play right now against SMU in the middle of the second period. It is still 1-0 for SMU there in terms of St. Mary's Huskies. It's a pretty physical game in front of the net right now, so maybe we're seeing a different bite from these two teams in terms of coming out. UPEI being the host, so they go back for the second year. They said last year when we were there, they made it very clear that last year was the here's how it's going to be. We're going to get ready for next year.
Yeah.
They come in with a very impressive record and ended up third in the AUS this year. Do we see any surprises from UPEI? Maybe pulling off a shocker now that they know what it takes to play at that level?
I think so. The last time I saw the rankings, they were
sixth or seventh
in the country, and that's a testament to that team. Like that, they're not a bad team. Like they are. We saw them play against Manitoba last year, and they were good. Yeah, even last year, like they're the type of team that can knock you off your pedestal real quick. Like they will. They counterattack very well. They've got solid goaltending, and that defense and goaltending win championships. And we got to see that last year. It's a very strong team, and they're way more experienced now. You know, that's what they talked about last year. That this is a learning experience for them. They are coming in. They're going to take the lessons that they learned last year and move that forward. They get to see some teams that they got to see last year. But I really think they're going to surprise a lot of people. It's a great program. It's a great team.
Okay, so we got everybody on the line now. Keegan, you can hear us. Victor, you can hear us in terms of what's going on. I'm going to get everybody's set up now, doing it the hard way in that pick the winner. Pick your gold medalist from, again, if you're in the AUS, you can pick whichever team you like in terms of the three that are remaining, but you can't pick from your own conference.
That's no fun.
Ooh.
So who wins the gold medal not from your conference? I will let anybody take the shot at the first call here.
Well, you know what? I'll step up here, guys. I mean, I like the Alberta Pandas. Okay. I really do. I mean, you know, the 8-2 record, and you know the women's national championship final. That's you know, that's a mighty fine winning percentage. 8 out of 10 wins there when you know they get to the big dance. So they pulled out games in tight fashion before. They did it in double OT against McGill back in 2017. You know, they've just so much experience there. It's on both the men's and the women's side. There's a really good tradition of winning championships there. And you know, when you have a pedigree like that, I find it tough to bet against.
Jason, Keegan?
I'm going to say Saint Effect.
Ooh.
If they're there.
Okay.
I was going ahead before, and just as I didn't know who's going to rank where, and I thought Saint Effect was a good team all season long. I like Tyra Maropoulos, if I'm saying that correctly.
Maropoulos, yeah.
Yeah, she had a great season. Obviously, the 26 goals was by far the best in all of U sports. 37 points led the way there as well. I got a chance this summer to see Lindsay Donovan on the back end. She was one of the best defenders I've seen in all of women's U sports hockey in a while. I think she's just so calm, cool, collective back there. I think they could be a really good team. I mean, the record stands for it all at 25-2-1 this season was remarkable. But the fact that they're on a 12-game win streak to end the season, then in these playoffs, they're up 1 right now on a St. Mary's team that was really good too. Definitely my choice.
So we went out and talked to Isabel Germain. She is one of the broadcasters for AUS, and we have some notes on Tyra. Do you want to read her exact? I mean, don't read her exact words because there's a few words in there we can't read.
But
here is the scouting report from a woman who's watched this team all season.
So AUS MVP Tyra Maropoulos has one of the best shots I've ever seen in the league. If she doesn't play well, they struggle. Shoot first type player. Rarely will she pass or be in a position to pass. Most of the plays revolve around her getting her the puck in a perfect shooting lane. She is, I don't know what that says, but she is the best choice on the power play and is lethal.
So it sounds like they're, I mean, I'm not going to say one-dimensional by any means, but I mean, it sounds like, yeah, everything filters through her, which is kind of crazy because I've talked to a few other people who said, yeah, just we didn't think her skating style was very good before she got to university, and all of a sudden she's legitimately one of the best players in university hockey today.
I mean, that's what they said about Alexander Ovechkin, and that worked out for everybody.
True. So Keegan's probably got a good pick there then. Jay, who are you going to pick?
I'm going to go against Keegan on this one.
Ooh.
I'm going to pick St. Mary's.
Wait, you were the AUS guy. You can't pick from that conference.
I'm sitting here in a Canada West university.
I'm sorry. You can't pick you
okay,
can't pick
then.
From the
well,
AUS.
If I can't pick AUS, I'm picking Mount Royal because that's going to make me happy.
Yeah,
I just think, you know, I like a good story, and I think Mount Royal plays the right type of hockey where they can shock people. You know, if I was able to pick another AUS team, I probably would have picked UPEI because we didn't see them last year. But MRU really reminds me of UPEI last year. They're coming in kind of as the underdog story. They're the team that nobody's really – nobody expected them to be there, you know, except some of us who are sitting here saying that they could potentially get to the national championship. I digress. But Mount Royal is it's a team that's been building for a long time. And they've gotten better every single year. Every single year has been a step forward for this team. You know, very as Keegan said, very stingy defensively. And in a one-and-done tournament like this, all you need is that little spark. You know, we saw it last year with Guelph. I had mentioned that before. You know, they got up on Manitoba really early, the defending champs, and rode that all the way through, carried that momentum throughout the tournament. I could very much see Mount Royal getting up 1-2 in that first game of the tournament and then just riding that goaltending all the way through.
I'm not going to doubt that. I think there's a good opportunity for that. I'm going to make Victor happy, though, because I'm going to take York only because they have 7 Manitobans on that team. So
a little biased.
Sorry, I got to pick the hometown kids there in terms of what's going on. So I think those are all good picks. I mean, definitely we're going to see some good hockey out in Charlottetown. With that, though, let's flip it over to something even more probably crazy because there's all sorts of upsets and insanity happening in men's hockey as they play out in Halifax this upcoming – or next weekend, I guess. Not this upcoming weekend, but next weekend. I'm going to say, you know what, let's start out in the West again. Keegan, I'll give you a few minutes to wax poetic about the Saskatchewan Huskies and the UBC Thunderbirds.
Yeah, wow, what a year for both these teams, hey? I mean, Saskatchewan, no surprise there again, looking for their first David Johnson University Cup since the 1982-83 campaign. The record this season, 22-4-2. That's a tie for first with Alberta at the end due to the tie breaks. They end up getting the second seed. And, I mean, when you look at that record, the craziest thing about it is in that opening 2 weeks, they were 0-3-1. They were not in a position where they were ranked in the top two nationally or could be looked at as a team that's going to make a run this season. But it is the Saskatchewan Huskies. They're a prestige program, and they've proven that all season long. They went on a couple of runs too as this season went on, and absolute no-brainer that they're there again. They finished the season on a 15-game win streak, including the playoffs, and to be completely honest, they don't show any signs of slowing down.
And their goalie can score goals.
Yeah, their goal, Aaron Tosin, he does everything. So they're coming into this tournament with a little vengeance too. They hosted Alberta in the Canada West Final last season. They lost that in 3 games. Being shut out in the last 2 of that series and then lost to them again in the semifinals down in Lethbridge of the national tournament, also by shutout fashion. They just have so many weapons, and their physicality is so comparable to the teams out east. That was something I really noticed last year was those teams out there, they really bang the bodies around, and they don't let their opponents use that skill and speed. The teams like Alberta and I would even throw in a Mount Royal this year probably wouldn't be able to handle that physicality too much, but Saskatchewan can. And in that championship game, it was really noticeable that actually Victor got to call on that game was something that I noticed. A guy like Luke Phillip, who's now with the Stockton Heat, signed a contract with the Calgary Flames right out of U Sports last year. When he went down with injury, UMB really cranked things up on the physical side of the play. Didn't allow Alberta any space, time and space to create what they can do all season long. And I think that's what Saskatchewan can counter with. They're going to be physical. And they can take a little bit of extra risk because they do have that goaltender in Taron Kozin, which you guys just mentioned. Like, what a season he had. If we're going to go players to watch for them, he's probably the main one. 17-3-2 this year, a 1.87 goals against and a 931 save percentage. He had five shutouts. That tied a Canada West single-season record held by himself and Zach Sochenko from last season. He also scored a goal this year, which you guys also said. I mean, he outscored the Calgary Dinos, who are a great hockey team, on a weekend, shutting them out twice and putting one in the empty net. Like, it's incredible.
I was going to say, before you go on, Keegan, about that, in terms of that whole goal-scoring thing or whatever, only the second goaltender ever in Canada West history. So
yeah, it was. And you know what? I'm not shocked that he did it either, because a year prior, he missed Mount Royal's net by a foot here in Calgary. So I don't understand why, when you pull the goaltender, you're putting the puck on net. I mean, he's just going to get up and shoot it down the ice, try and keep it away from him. But that was the mistake Calgary made, and Taron Kozin goes viral for it. For the other team, UBC, wow, what a playoff run. This team, I got to tip my hat to Sven Butenschon, the head coach there. First ever trip to Nationals for this program, 9-14-5 was the record this year. That was good for fifth in the Canada West Conference. They won five of their last nine games. That's more than the whole rest of the season for them. And they played super well at the absolute best time to do it. Like, they come to Mount Royal, they take on a team that is 15 points better than them in the regular season, and they knocked them out in three games. They stunned them in game one, got into trouble in game two. In game three, they were spotted a 3-0 lead and won things in overtime. They never quit, and they stuck with it. They got through the Cougars. Then they went up to a building in the Claire Drake Arena where they had literally no odds to win this series at all. Alberta was given a sweep. Everyone I talked to, it was going to be Alberta, Saskatchewan, no doubt. They go up there, they steal game one, they lose game two pretty easily, then they go out and they just regroup and win game three. Like, they just never lost their composure. I think they just ended up running out of gas when they went to Saskatchewan. They ran into the hottest team in the country, emptied the tank, hard-fought series, they end up losing it. It's tough. My concern with UBC is I found a trend, and this could be their biggest problem come Halifax time. It's in game twos combined. They took a total of 24 penalties. That's going to prove costly against these good teams out there, and there's proof of it. They lost all three game twos they played in the playoffs. I mean, I do believe that they need to play that physical style that they have and try and get teams off of their game, but you got to do it with some discipline. If they live in the penalty box, I'm thinking it could be a really quick tournament for the Thunderbirds. Players to watch, that line of Quinn Benjafield, Matt Revelle, and Colton Keller combined for 11 points in the first two games against MRU. They were held pretty quiet in game three, but Benjafield did leave the game with a shoulder injury. Him and Anthony Bishop actually left the game with shoulder injuries. Remarkably came back to the Alberta series and have been able to provide offensively and be threats for UBC moving forward. And then the other one, he's been the biggest name for this team either the whole season and throughout these entire playoffs. It's Rylan Toth in net. Former Red Deer Rebel, Seattle Thunderbird, absolute stud in these playoffs for UBC. Stole the series against Alberta, had 51 saves in game one, 39 more in the series clincher. So good this season. I think, again, it just came down to how much they had left in the tank in that series against Saskatchewan. But they made it a good series, forced them into a 2-1 hockey game and then a 3-1 loss in game two. And by no means were they out of that series from the get-go.
Tougher, obviously, to plan for teams that you don't know very well for UBC. Again, they're coming in as the team that legitimately has the least amount of wins out of any of the teams winning Nationals. Do you think there's, I mean, obviously, Rylan Toth's going to have another big series, another big tournament. Is there any chance that UBC can win, do you believe, Keegan?
Of course. I think they, you know what, I had weird feelings about Alberta all season long, but I think they still played the Alberta way. They dominated that series pretty much, and Rylan Toth stole the series. But UBC, just the fact that they were able to take out two teams of the caliber that Mount Royal was this season and the caliber that U of A is, it doesn't matter who they're going to play. They're going to play their style. I just think it kind of goes back to living in the penalty box. When they play their style of game, the stuff after the whistle, the physicality, the chirping, everything. When they can get a team off their game, they're riding a high. But when they're living in the penalty box, it's pretty tough for them to bounce back. And I think if they face a team like UNB, Acadia, or Ottawa, any of those teams, and they're in the penalty box, this could be a one game and done for them. But If they play their style of game to the right proportion, I think they can get it done.
All right, so we got Saskatchewan, who's going in as one of the odds-on favorite. UBC, who could be a sleeper pick for everybody, according to Keegan, which is always a good thing to hear. Victor, we'll turn to you, and we'll talk about the two teams that have already qualified, because there's still two teams to decide who goes as the third team. But Ottawa and it looks like Guelph are the two teams going from the OUA. Any thoughts on those teams in terms of who's going in from the East and the West as the division champions in that conference?
Well, for starters, two fantastic stories. I'll start with Ottawa. That was a team that 4 years ago, seemed so far away, right, from the national championship, coming off the program suspension. Patrick Rometra, signed what seemed like the impossible job of being head coach, and as a result, really lead recruiter of that team as well. Starting from scratch and then trying to build a contender in an OUA Eastern Conference, which at the time was just, and still is, so airtight. Like, it's tough to find breathing room there. But, I remember the first year, back in 16-17, everyone thought, Ottawa was going to be a bit of a doormat. And maybe if they're lucky, they would fight for a playoff spot with Laurentian and Nipissing. They came out the first year, went 15-8-5, and were comfortably in the playoffs in the sixth spot. And ever since, they've hit a couple snags in the second round of the playoffs, but it's like every year they've continued to build on what they started with. And this year was finally the year they had the breakthrough. A lot of the guys they recruited back in that first year are huge pillars, parts of the team this year, guys like Jacob Sweeney, Kevin Domingue. So it's certainly a very experienced team. There's going to be a massive roster turnover next year, but there's a really good influx of talent for major junior levels, whether it be the OHL or the Quebec Major Junior League. And they've really found a nice gem of a goaltender in Dominic Graham, who they brought over from the Nipissing Lakers after, I think, 3 or 4 years there. And he's come into Ottawa, and he's been terrific for them. So just a remarkable accomplishment for a team to go from, nothing 4 or 5 years ago and are now in the national championship and could potentially be a Queen's Cup champion by the end of Saturday night. That would be a massive deal for that program. They've worked very, very hard to get to that point. So certainly well-deserved success for them. On the Guelph side, the OUA Western Conference is one of the, for me, it is the most unpredictable league, outside the NHL. Find me another league right outside the NHL, where all 8 seeds can win in the first round, because it's like that every year. And this year, the Western Mustangs knocked out the 1 seed, then they knocked out the 2 seed, and then they darn near knocked out the 3 seed, Guelph. But, in a conference where carnage reigns supreme every year, the Guelph Griffins find a way to get through again. They've been in the third round or deeper for the last 6 years. It's their second straight season in the Queen's Cup. This time they'll have it at home. Last year they were on the road in Queens, so they come back now to what's going to be a sold-out Griffin Center Arena. They play on Olympic-size ice there. And, oh, by the way, guys, if you didn't see, they lost their best player, one of the best, I would say the best in the OUA conference, after game one of the playoffs.
Yeah.
They lose game one to Laurier. Their captain and superstar forward, Mikael Agard, goes over to Germany and signs with Wolfsburg. So all of a sudden they lose him. They're down in the series, 1-0, heading into game two on, I think it was the Friday night against Laurier. And then they pull the hat out of the, or they pull the rabbit out of the hat and come back and win that series. And it has somehow, it seems, come out a better team as a result of it. So I don't know what Sean Kemp, the head coach, has those guys drinking over there, but there must be something in the water, because nobody else has found the consistency that the Guelph Griffins have in the OUA West.
So, obviously two great teams. We're going to see who comes home with the Queen's Cup on Saturday night. 7 p.m. start time for that game. But it might be more interesting to see who the third team is, because Western, as you were mentioning, Victor, the Giant Killers, going in against Concordia, who are the lone team from Quebec to represent in the OUA. Thoughts on who might come out of that game? Because Western, who ended up with a sub 500 record, goes in and shocks everybody. Concordia, just above 500, has a +1 goal differential. Literally could be, I don't want to use the term ripe for the picking, but Western might get a chance to shock the world here.
Well, I'll start by saying this. I couldn't believe Western was an 8 seed by the start of the playoffs. When you look at their team, you know, the caliber, the quality of players they have, whether it's Luke Parrishini, who was an OHL goaltender of the year, you know, Steven DeRocher, a former Toronto Maple Leaf draft pick, you know, Cordell James, who had a monster overage season with the Owen Sound attack in the OHL before he came over to Western. And, you know, I'm looking at him, I'm thinking, how are these guys an 8 seed in the OUA West? But, you know, they came awake at the right time. I saw it, you know, firsthand in the series against Ryerson when they knocked out the Rams in the second round, that they would fall asleep at the wheel from time to time. But when they wake up and they're firing on all cylinders, I mean, you know, when the team plays to their potential, they're really, really good. And the key for them here in this bronze medal play-in game is that this is going to be a home game for them in London at Thompson Arena, 3 in the afternoon on a Saturday. That is a game at home, 3 in the afternoon. They have not lost in the playoffs this year. You know, they were down 1-0 in the series to U of T. They were down 1-0 to Ryerson. They were down 1-0 to Guelph. And every time they've come back and won game 2 on home ice. So that's going to be a difficult environment. For Concordia, this is a team that's been to the national championship, just did it a couple of years back when they beat the York Lions in the bronze medal play-in game to get to that level. But they're different. You know, in years past, they've had guys like Anthony DeLuca, just run-and-gun players, guys that would rack up the points through the wazoo. They don't have those kind of players to the same extent this year. They're not the type of team that relies solely on, you know, putting up 5-plus goals a game to get through opposition in the OUA. They've got a more balanced attack this year. They've got a real strong, I think, overall defense. They've had some really strong net minding as well when it's mattered this year. So, you know, Tyler Hyland is really been their star this year. But, you know, with a 30-point season, it kind of pales in comparison to what they got with the 60 points from Anthony Beauregard a couple of years back when they made the national championship. So, you know, on the cusp of getting there again. But I'd say the roster composition is a lot different than what we saw when they were at Nationals 2 years ago.
Again, I'm not going to ask for predictions because I know you don't like making them, Victor. But at the same time, let's keep moving because there's one team that stands out above everybody else, and that's the team that's basically been ranked one, if not two, all season long. Jason, you want to talk about the AUS teams, including the powerhouse UNB Varsity Reds, who seem to win every second year?
I mean, you mentioned one or two. I don't think they should ever have been two at some point, well, even though I would really put I really like the Saskatchewan Huskies. But, yeah, obviously UNB finished first in the AUS, first in the country. They were 12 points ahead of Acadia, who finished second in the AUS conference this year. But, you know, same old with UNB, a high-caliber team, great team no matter what. Tyler Boland, the straw that stirs the drink there, 20 goals, 28 assists in 30 games for 48 points. Right behind him, Chris Bennett. Those two guys are going to be absolutely huge. They just rolled Moncton in the semifinals to get there. And just this same old UNB squad that we've seen for a very long time now. I really want to focus on the other side.
Sure, yeah.
Which is the Acadia Axemen. Came together right time, finished second in the AUS. Exciting team to watch. You know, it's a very doable series for them right now. They have the chance to really shock people. We were talking about Western having the chance to shock people. I think having a team that is not UNB win coming from the AUS would also be pretty shocking. The one problem is, like was mentioned with St. FX, is they have the problem with potentially being a one-trick pony. Cristiano, I'm going to butcher this name, but DiGiacinto finished the season with 37 points in 30 games, 20 goals, 17 assists. You know, good two-way player all around, kind of everything, the Swiss Army knife type of player that we love over here at Manitoba. Beat SMU in 4 games. And now they've got to face off against the powerhouse.
So, speaking of the powerhouse, Acadia won game 1-3-1. UNB came back and pummeled them in Acadia 6-0 the next game. Mm-hmm. They will play the final game tomorrow night. If UNB loses, they will be ranked below 5. Well, they'll be 5 or lower going into Nationals. Like, I don't ever remember UNB being ranked that low in the last what, 8 years, 9 years?
The way God intended.
So, I mean, we could be talking about a major upset here for Acadia, and certainly maybe proof of how good their program is as well. But there's a third team going from the AUS as well, is the St. Mary's Huskies. Actually beat the Moncton Aigle Bleu, whatever they're called, today by 4-2 score. Or excuse me, yeah, by 4-2 score to qualify as the third team from the AUS to go, and technically the second AUS team with Acadia hosting. So, yeah. St. Mary's, I don't think they're going to be much of a threat. They had a good season, but they got pummeled by Acadia in the semifinals as well. But in saying that, UNB is just so scary in terms of that offense. They have their goal differential is plus 103 this season. They have more. Their goal differential is better than three of the teams going to nationals in terms of goals for the season. That's how ridiculous they score goals.
Oh,
so I'm. Don't get me wrong. I'm pulling for Acadia, but
yeah, definitely.
We got a few minutes left in the show here, so gentlemen, we're going to do the same exercise as before. Pick your winner in the men's side, but you can't pick from your own conference.
Well, guys, I'll lead this one off again because I've had a feeling about this team now for about the better half of a week now. But there's just something to me this year, and I've had this feeling in years before, and it hasn't come true, so maybe there's nothing to it. But I have a funny feeling about the Saskatchewan Huskies.
Ah.
I've seen that team, you know, get so close now so many times. You know, they've appeared in the national championship final 7 times. And they've lost at 6. And the only one, the one win they did have, you know, it came all the way back in 1983 in Moncton, New Brunswick. So they've won out in the Maritimes before. I know Dave Adolph desperately wants to experience, you know, the feeling of hoisting the David Johnston trophy over his head again with that Saskatchewan team. And it's like every year they come into the championship, they've got all the pieces. Nothing's really different, right, about them this year. Their goaltender is as good as anyone in the league. You know, they don't have Jordan Cook anymore, but, you know, Taron Kozin is everything you could possibly want. Their defense is stacked. They've got a good enough forward unit to get it done. Maybe the biggest difference, though, this year, guys, is they don't have to get through the University of Alberta at the national championship. So maybe it's just that's the bounce, the break, whatever it is they need, but I just kind of got a feeling about the Huskies this year.
Jason Keegan?
Yeah, I'm going to back you right up, Victor. I've been very high on the Saskatchewan. Every single time Saskatchewan comes to Manitoba to play games, I get so excited to call those games because they're such a good team. They're such a technical team. Like, it's something that gets lost in the weeds is this how well they play as a unit when they cycle the puck, when they move it around. They're fantastic in transition. They are stingy as heck on defense. They really make it easy in front of Taron Kozin or whoever they have back there. I think the person that's really going to shock people in this tournament, Jared Dimitri, who is unbelievable. Seeing him when he was here, like, this is a Saskatchewan team that lost some significant talent coming into this year, but they didn't show it at all. You know, they, like, the Forsberg cousins, who we don't even remember. Yeah,
nobody's mentioned them at all.
Nobody's mentioned them at all because, you know, they've been fantastic, but, you know, you're not missing. You've got guys like Evan Fiala there. You've got guys like Jared Dimitri there. You've got guys that can win you hockey games, and I think the path is clear. They're going to have it this year.
Keegan, I'll let you take Saskatchewan if you want, but you're welcome to pick anybody else as well.
I'll say this because I want to follow the rules. I do have Saskatchewan in my final.
Okay.
But I'll follow the rules, and if I want, it's so hard not to pick UNB. Like, every year they're there, and you guys
explain
that greatly. But I want to go with a different look at it, and I'm going to say the host takes it in Acadia.
All right.
Ooh,
good call.
I like their season this year. 2-1-2 this season against UNB. 4 of those 5 games were one-goal games. They're now in a great final. Yeah, they got steamrolled at home the other night, but they're in a great final that's going the full distance with the Reds. I've loved Logan Fadell, former Swift Current Bronco netminder. He's got the best player in the league. He's a goalie. He stole game one. He can steal another one for them. I think they're just comfortable with UNB, and when you get comfortable with a team, you're not as scared to play against them, and I think Acadia has the ability to take down the Reds.
I like that call. We're just about out of time here in terms of the last few seconds of the show, so I'm going to make it easy and just go with a one-word answer for my pick. Because, and again, I think I'll please Victor with this. I think the fairy tale ending for Ottawa happens this year. I think that they have that momentum just rolling, and Ottawa's going to be my pick. So there we go. Gentlemen, I cannot say thank you enough for joining us here tonight, because, again, it's always good to get a better idea as to who's playing where and who's seen what, because we only get to see mostly Canada West stuff. But, Keegan, I'm sure we'll do this again at some point in terms of bringing you back, talk a little bit about maybe talk about a national championship for MRU. But we'll see what happens there. We'll certainly have you on again. Victor, we will definitely have you on again as well. You're full of knowledge that we don't ever get from the OUA, so we just watch games and kind of go, who's that? So, gentlemen, I want to thank you both for coming on and being a part of the hockey show tonight.
Thank you, guys. Much appreciated.
So we'll let those guys get out and get back to their regular lives as we get Skippy in here in a few seconds. Jason, anything going on in terms of the Manitoban this week?
Just a whole heck of a lot of national championship previews for men's volleyball. Talk to John Gods of Bison Sports, talking about the process of planning and hosting a national championship, and you know, saying goodbye to Garth Pischke at the press conference they had today.
I will say this, it is 2-2. 2-2 St. Mary's and St. FX in going into the third period out in Antigonish, Nova Scotia. If you want, get on and check that out, austv.ca, to get that going. And again, don't forget, folks, next week all of the tournament action will be on CBC streaming apps. Make sure you get that in there, because you'll get to see both the men's and the women's hockey tournaments. We are out of here for another week. We will have you updates anyway from the tournament as they're going on next week. We'll check into both of those setups and find out who's won and who's not and who might still be in contention for a medal. With that, though, we're out of here for another week, everybody. Take it easy, and we will... Oh, Skippy, get your hands out of the way there. Skippy's trying to push me out of the way here, folks. Get out of here with some Union Tune by Turnpike again. Here is O on 101.5 UMFM.
Just in case you thought we did the pop thing, and hop on your block and not hang. Shot me rock to the top with our gang. Drop the top, let it knock like I sang. Pay out, you going the same, because my name won't change just because of the fame. And all you names are a shame. When I'm kicking my game, you all the same, and your brain should be filled with flame, and it makes you